Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. My returning guest today is Jenny Lee Samuel, host of the Java with Jen podcast. Now, we had a great discussion in part one. It's so good that we had to continue our discussion, and now we have part two. Praise God. Jenny Lee Samuel has been helping people to grow into a deep personal relationship with Jesus through hearing his voice better and tackling those subjects that will help them to progress in their journey of maturing in Christ. Now, she and her husband, Stephen, as we learned last time, met at Bible college, got married, and now they are pastors at a church in Orange, Texas, and they are focused on discipleship. They have four young boys. They also have a nonprofit organization called Free Life Missions, which does mission work, as well as she is an ambassador for a great nonprofit that helps children all over the world called Compassion International. And we'll be discussing this great work and a special project that she needs your help with right now concerning Compassion International. So let's jump back into this interview with Jenny Lee Samuel as I start this episode off by talking to her about her work with Free Life Missions. Now, you in the opening remarks, I talked about this nonprofit you formed. Tell us about this nonprofit.
Oh, sure. We have a ministry called Free Life Missions. I mean, it's not massive, but we needed something. My husband was starting to go on so many missions trips. We went on them together early in our marriage before we had children. And he was, you know, taking 3-4 missions trips a year, and he would always bring a team of people. And our mission is always to go and to support the local church wherever we're going. He also loves to go to unreached locations. And so he has wandered through the mountains of Tibet and China to find unreached people groups. And it's pretty phenomenal the way that God has shown up in dreams and visions and all these different things to lead them to find the people. They were followed by the secret police for a while in China, you know? And so, I mean, just really cool stories, but we needed an organization, a formal organization, to cover that and to, provide a tax write-off for people who wanted to give consistently and somewhere for the money to go through. That way there just was clarity and organization to it, just so that we could be real up and up with it, you know? And so it just created a vehicle for us to be able to do more missions work.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And, you know, to be able to have that outlet where someone who wants to go but can't, you know, I've said before, you know, there's three types of people in the world: those that go, those that help those that go, and those that pay for those to go.
Yeah.
Every Christian falls in one of those three groups. And you know, you help out at church, or, you know, as you just described, this foundation is a way for people who would love to be able to reach unreached people groups but can't. They can support your foundation so that someone can go to those people groups. And they get the credit just like the person on the ground. I mean, because it wasn't for them being able to send you, nobody would go. So God honors that. Amen. Amen. Now, you also support a foundation that prevents child trafficking, right?
Yes. And it's primarily Compassion International, which is actually the second largest nonprofit in the world. Mm. And many people know of them because they have been around for decades now, and which speaks volumes, especially when they're having to handle as much money as they handle. They're one of the top priorities in their ministry is financial transparency, which was important to me. And as an entrepreneur, so how I got connected as an entrepreneur, I was like, Lord, I'm tired of ministries or organizations that aren't doing what they say they're doing. We have personally invested into a pastor in Turkey for years, and we believed that we were helping to, you know, build the underground church over there. And we were. I mean, my husband was going over there and working with them and met a lot of the pastors and stuff. But later on, we found out that a lot of the money we were sending, that this one pastor was siphoning it and was not using it with integrity. And so my husband, you know, he was able to bring that to light, and that guy was held accountable. And so we were able to then start working with the pastors more directly and make sure the money was going where it needed to. But that was very disappointing. You know, that was very disheartening. And you know, that will happen at times. That, I mean, it's just part of life, but because of that, that's why we always put our feet on the ground over there. We always want to make sure who we're working with, that there's integrity. And, you know, even in the secular world, a lot of these children organizations are actually covers for sex trafficking. I'm not going to name anything, but there are specific, organizations who have been discovered that they, while on the front look like they're helping children, on the backside, they're actually trafficking children. And so, that just made me so sick, you know, like, and my prayer is constantly that the Lord would uncover those things and expose them and hold them accountable. So with all that said, I was praying for an organization I could partner with that had integrity and that the money was going where I thought that it would be going or expected it to be going, and that they were actually doing the work of the Great Commission, that they were reaching the lost, that they were ministering to the poor and to the orphan and to the widow, that they were making disciples and reaching the nations. And Compassion International does all of that. And the way they do that is we find sponsors. I'm a sponsor. I actually sponsored my first child in high school when I got my first job. And so I go way back with them. And it's neat. Now I'm an ambassador for their ministry. Before I just, you know, was a partner with their ministry. Now I'm an ambassador. And so it's $38 a month. And what it takes care of is they believe in the holistic health of a child. And so they take care of not just their food and nutrition, but their clothing, their home, their medical health. And so they make sure they get medical care, their spiritual health. And so they make sure they are a part of that local church, that all the funding and the supplies actually come through that local church. And so these children are getting discipled spiritually. They also provide counselors and people who can tend to the emotional health of these children, who many of them have been through traumatizing situations living in poverty, you know. In fact, it's when I heard the stories of what's normal for these children, I just cried. But like, if you sit down with one of the children that are over there, their way of life is so different than ours. It's like we can't even grasp that. You ask them what they want to be when they grow up, and they say they want to be 10 years old. And the reason they say 10 years old is because they don't know that they're going to make it to 10 years old, because their siblings died of starvation, you know? And so their mission in life is to make it to 10 years old. And so this, the woman who is my liaison with the company, she was there on a missions trip in Guatemala and sat down with a young mother. And the young mother was telling her, she said, you know, my daughter got sponsored by Compassion. And so we're trying to save our money to buy back my older daughter, because we had to sell her so that the family could eat. I mean, she just said it very matter of factly. And the daughter was sold into sex trafficking. And what the traffickers will do is they'll come to these impoverished families who, when you can't eat and your basic needs of survival are not met, you don't function in the normal way of thinking. It is life and death all the time. And so when a trafficker comes to these families and they say, I can provide a job for your child and you'll make a year's wages in a month, then they're like, holy cow, yes, this is the salvation we've been looking for. And so they'll easily give up their child. I mean, I'm sure there's probably some emotional conflict, but they'll give up their child for the sake of saving their family. And then they think, we all get to survive this way. It's a win-win, but their child is being sold into sex slavery. And so by relieving the pressure of poverty, it really can prevent those children from being pulled into that situation. And not to mention, it actually begins to nurture, giving them a future, giving them an education, giving them life skills, so then they can begin to create wealth for their family, for their futures, for their communities. And it's such a domino effect of how it really changes the whole area around them. And so it's awesome. And financially, a lot of these kind of organizations, only 15 to 30% of relief organizations, only that much money goes to the actual project that you're giving towards. But with Compassion, 85% of the money that is being given is going directly to that child. Only 15% is used for administrative costs. And So all in all, this this ministry was such an answer to prayer for me be able to get involved and make a difference. So,
amen. Well, we'll put links to this down below in the show notes so that people that hear this episode, hear your the passion in your voice, you know, that may be what the Holy Spirit needs to move them to take action in this area. So we'll be sure to put links in the show notes for that. Amen.
Thank you. Now, I pray so. Well, actually, if I can just share, my goal is to have 100 kids sponsored by June. And because of COVID, there's about 1.5 million people that have crossed into the poverty line, crossed over that poverty line and are now struggling to survive. And, but because of COVID, sponsorships are down because, you know, people all over the place have lost jobs. I lost a job during COVID, you know, like it's affected all of us. But there are still many, many, many people who would be able to afford the $38 a month. And so, if people would go to compassion.com/JavaWithJen, that'll take them right to a sign up sponsorship screen.
Amen. 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 And the link to that is on your website as well?
The link to that is on my, I kind of use Instagram actually as my point of connection. And so my Instagram, if they go to Java with Jen on Instagram, then all of those are in the link in my bio.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll put links to all that down below. Now, your ministry life actually started pretty young. Tell us about your time as a child in a missionary family.
Yeah, when I was 3 years old, my parents felt the call to ministry. And so we moved to Southern Arizona. We fundraised for a couple of years. We were on furlough and support raised. So when I was around 5, we made it to the missions field. And the missions field was in the U.S., actually. We were in Southern Arizona on the Tohono-O'odham Indian Reservation, also known as Tapago Indians. And so we lived there for a number of years. We planted a church and discipled the people around us and got that church healthy. And we're still in connection with a lot of those people. And then once that season was over, my parents moved to Phoenix, Arizona. And our family did. And they became teachers at a boarding school that was for Native American students only. It had been grandfather clauses in before the race discrimination acts were released. And so for a number of years, the school finally closed because of funding, but all the students were at least half Native American. And so it was kind of like living on an Indian tribe, except it was lots of different Indian tribes all in one location in the middle of Phoenix. And so, so that's how I started in ministry.
Amen. And what were some of the best experiences you had from that time?
I feel like for me, my greatest gratitude for those seasons, because it was difficult, you know, there was definitely some difficulties about living that way. But I think my greatest gratitude was growing up with such a missional mindset that my purpose here on earth is to get people saved. And so my first convert was when I was 3 years old, and I saved my twin sister from the fires of hell. I went out to her. I had just gotten saved. I had just given my heart to Jesus in the kitchen. And I ran outside to her, and I very emphatically in 3-year-old language told her if she didn't give her heart to Jesus right now, she was going to die and go to hell and I would miss her. And so I apparently scared the living daylights out of her, and she ran inside crying and asked mom to pray with her. And so it was kind of funny, but on the missions field though, I did lead a neighbor to the Lord. I think I was 5 or 6 years old and led my neighbor friend to the Lord. And so I just grew up with that as my lens for life. And so even in high school, that was my mission. I went to public school in high school, and I just viewed high school as my missions field. And so I did small group leading, and there was probably over 100 different students that came through, probably over 125, I think, students that came through my small groups throughout high school, and over 20 peers that I was able to lead to the Lord during that time. And so I'm grateful for that, because it set God's mission in my heart.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. So we talked about good experiences. What were some of the drawbacks of being a child in a missionary family?
Yeah. I think some of the drawbacks was, I look back and I realized what an amazing job my parents did parenting us in general and really trying to prioritize family time. But I think because the demands of ministry are never ending, you know, I think there became some imbalance there at times. And I remember feeling second place to the ministry at times. And so that was, you know, that was difficult and definitely, I think, made me resent the missions field at times, as a young teenager. And the Lord really had to kind of change my heart and shift my direction. But again, I look back and I see the effort of my parents. I see what they did to have family nights and don't open the door during dinner time, you know, and things like that. And, so they really did try. But I just, you know, it's hard in ministry to have balance. And, yeah. And then I think the other drawback was living on support raised finances. There's definitely a number of Christmases that we didn't know if we'd have any presents or anything like that. And I grew up with a poor kid, mentality. And that has been something that the Lord has really begun to heal and change in me as an adult, realizing like, that's not more Christian. You know, it's not more Christian to be impoverished. In fact, God's covenant with people in the Old Testament showed up in their, one of the signs of his covenant was wealth and prosperity. And, not that that has to be there. I mean, I'm not saying that that is a sign that God is in your life, but wealth is not ungodly, you know, and, especially when it's used to further the kingdom of God and stuff. So I had to kind of grow out of some poverty thinking as a child, but.
Amen. Amen. Now, I understand that you are, see if I get this right, an online fashion stylist. How does that work?
Oh, Lordy. Yes. So it's so funny how the Lord just doesn't waste our interests. He doesn't waste our talents or our giftings, even if they're giftings we don't realize we carry. And so as a kid, I was always interested in fashion, but as a missionary and Christian, I wasn't allowed to look at fashion magazines, which in a lot of ways, I think my mom saved my sense of confidence, you know? But because of that, I never like was able to explore fashion. I didn't know how to dress until I had two children and just started learning by necessity. And so, but once I started just kind of learning, I was like, you know, we're pastors and we have like no money to spend, but just because we're not wealthy doesn't mean I need to look poor and raggedy, you know? And so I just began to be on a mission to learn how to look respectable, even on a budget. And the Lord began to actually kind of teach me how to stretch my dollars and be a good steward and all of that and find good deals. And, as I did that, of course I had kids back to back. And so that changed my body a lot. And so I also wanted to dress in a way that was going to flatter me no matter what size I was at the time. And so, I just began to, you know, just take interest and look online and learn this and that. And then I learned enough skills. I think that there was a gifting that was buried in there that I didn't know I had. And people started to, for about 2 years, people would approach me out of nowhere and be like, can you style me? You look like strangers would be like, could you come teach me how to dress? And I was like, do y'all know how weird that is that you're saying that to me right now? And so the Lord just kind of began to breathe on that gifting and then opened a door for me to style with a company called Stitch Fix, which is I think it's the world's largest styling company at this point. And, it was a profound, awesome experience. And I learned how to styled over 8,000 people, all online. And I would send them clothes that I pulled from inventory. It'd show up on their doorstep. They'd try it on and keep what they want and buy it and send back what they didn't. It was awesome. And so since then, I have since quit and started my own styling business. And so I can style people in person or virtually. And I just help people kind of learn how to dress their body and how to figure out what their style is, because dress is actually intimately connected to our personal sense of identity. And it's fun, and it's a field I never really expected the Lord to pull me into, but yes, he has. So
is it hard to help someone online to figure out what style they need to wear? I read that, you know, usually just in from the way they fill out the form or whatever it was, you could actually picture what they look like, how the size they are and things like that. How does that work online though? I mean, to me, that's like, you know, I hate buying clothes online because I don't know if it's going to fit or not.
Right. Well, to your credit, there was definitely a learning curve. I really had to learn how to assess with my eyes, like how clothes that are being sold online would fit the model. And then, so then I had to know the statistics of the model and then compare it to the statistics of my client. So I could imagine about how it would fit my client. So, but after 8,000 people, it becomes very automatic, you know? And so, so I actually never laid eyes on, about 75% to 80% of my clients. I never saw with my eyes, even a picture or anything. Wow. I would just go off of their measurements. And so it is a lot of math too, because, you know, clothes are measured and all this stuff. And, you know, there's a margin of error there, but yeah, I just kind of learned how to do it. So I've kind of gotten to where when I walk up to somebody in about 12 seconds, I can assess how tall they are, how much they weigh, what their inseam is, what size clothes they wear. And so it's kind of automatic now. But there are tools that I use online. Pinterest is a great tool. And other tools that I use that kind of nurture the process and make it easier for my client as well. So,
Amen. Well, yeah. I'm sure you helped out one of your clients. If I recall correctly, there is an episode on your podcast, Java with Jen, with Hollywood actress Crystal Lott. And talk about the Lord moving in various ways and got her first leading role in a movie. But you also have a special relationship with her, correct?
Yep, she's my sister.
Is this the twin sister you're talking about?
That's the older sister, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. So I did actually, I style, of course, my sisters, the perks of being related to a stylist. So my twin sister just started a copy editing business and she's a copy editor now. And she's actually editing my husband's first book. And so when I was out visiting, we had a photo shoot and I got to style her for all of her outfits for her photo shoot. So yeah, it's kind of fun. And I style my actress sister as well for events and for auditions and stuff. So it's fun.
Amen. Jen, this is so fascinating. I really enjoy this talk. You definitely have a lot going on in your life. But I love how all of it just revolves around the Lord. Amen. And your faith. Glory to God.
Yeah,
amen. If someone wanted to reach out to you to ask a question, maybe do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
I will say the easiest way to reach me is on my Instagram account, which is, my handle on there is Java with Jen. Now, if they don't use Instagram, I actually am on Facebook as well. And it's Java with Jen podcast on Facebook. And so either one of those is the easiest because I can always go back and look at those messages again. And so those two are kind of the easiest way to reach me.
Amen. And you also have a website set up for your styling business, right?
I do. Well, sort of. It's in process. It's in process. I do have a website. It's jsamuelstyling.com. And it'll take you really to my blog. But the best way to reach me even for that is Instagram as well. Instagram is kind of my point of contact that I use the most. And so on that one, it would be J Samuel Styling is my handle for Instagram there.
I find a lot of people are really moving away from Facebook and onto Instagram. I think that is growing in popularity right now. Amen.
Bless drama.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Glory to God. So, if they want to check out information on your fashions and all that, that's where they go to the J Samuel on Instagram.
J Samuel Styling is my handle on Instagram. J Samuel Styling. And basically what I do there is I have a link tree type thing in my bio. So anything they want to find about me, they can find in that link tree. It'll take them to various things. But I use my Instagram platform. I use the messaging to communicate with clients. I'll post videos with styling tips and I make posts with styling tips all the time. So it's really meant to be a resource for people who want to learn about fashion and learn about style. But then of course they can reach out to me on there as well. So
Amen. Amen. And give us that link that you want people to use again for Compassion International.
Oh, yes. That one is www.compassion.com/JavaWithJen.
Okay. That way I can put that in the show notes and everyone can click on that and become a supporter. And this is so important in this day and time in which we live. It is vital. It really is. Praise God.
It really is. Yeah. Folks, if they use that specific link, it'll help me track who is helping us reach that 100 kid goal. So it's important that they use that link so we can keep up with who's helping us reach that 100 kid goal. And so,
amen. Amen. Folks, I hope you got a lot out of today's interview with Jenny Lee Samuel. I know I did. I mean, I love it when you can sense the Lord moving in ways that many people don't even think of when it comes to ministry. And until I was actually doing the research for today's interview with Jenny Lee, I had not fathomed that an occupation as a fashion stylist could also be a ministry. Praise God. Who'd have thought? But I said all that because I want you to take away from this interview two things. One, Jesus is Lord and will move in every area of your life that you allow him to lead in. And two, that you need to go down to the show notes and get in touch with Jenny Lee Samuel. Her podcast is absolutely amazing. The topics vary, but all focus on how we serve the Lord and whatever it is we're doing. Praise God. Go down to the show notes, click the links. I'll include her Instagram links as well, the link to Compassion International. Get in touch with her. Subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe to her Instagram accounts. Reach out. Ask her for advice on improving your wardrobe or for your career. I mean, whether it's a new job or a special event, she can help you out. Jenny, I do appreciate your time coming and join us today. I really enjoyed our conversation. I know our audience will as well.
Oh, I appreciate it so much. Thank you for having me. It's been an awesome, awesome conversation.
Amen. Thank you very much. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Jenny Lee Samuel and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.